How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Knox Manning in Hollywood, taking you on another brief journey behind the scenes. Once again, we draw aside the curtain on a fragment of forgotten drama, a story of people and places already hidden in the background of destiny. Today, the proudest moment in the life of one of history's most beloved stepmothers. But first, a word from a familiar voice. And there's a man with good advice. Now, if you will, step with me behind the scenes to a day in the 1850s. The streets of the small city of Charleston, Illinois, are jammed. An almost 4th of July excitement hangs over the usually quiet town, and the farm people have come from miles around. And why this crowd? Well, sir, there's going to be a parade with the town band and political floats drawn by oxen. And afterward, there's going to be a talking match between a couple of pretty famous men. Up on a platform, they're going to argue a red-hot issue. And folks who've heard them debate before say you can really look for some sparks to fly. Yes, sir, it's a big day in Charleston, just about the biggest in its history. So no wonder the streets are gay with bunting and the sidewalks lined with people. And determinedly keeping her place right in the front row where the parade will pass is a small, gray-haired woman in her best bonnet and shawl. Living over on Goose Nest Prairie, she doesn't get a chance to wear this shawl much, and you can see she's just a little worried it might get torn in the jam. Right beside her, a small boy wiggles through the crowd and darts into the street to see if the parade's coming yet. The little lady looks at him and smiles. A gawky, homely kid reminds her of her own favorite boy. Well, really, it wasn't hers. She was only the stepmother, but she'd practically raised him, and somehow they'd been closer even than she and her own boy. Land didn't seem any time ago at all that her boy had been just like that barefooted kid scrambling back into the crowd. Yes, it was hard to realize that he wasn't a boy any longer, that he was a married man, doing a man's work in the world. Pretty important work, too. Didn't get to see him hardly any these days. But when they did get to sit down and talk, there still was something awful close between them, just as it had been years before. Always seemed to have a pretty high regard for her opinion, her boy did, even now when he was a big lawyer in a top hat and a member of the state legislature and everything. Sure didn't look like the skinny, half-starved little urchin she'd first seen when Tom had taken her to her new home. Her eyes had grown just a little misty when she remembered how her boy had loved her Johnny Cake, the tenderness she'd always felt when she'd cover him with a blanket when he fell asleep over his books. Well, sir, here's the parade, and the band sure is blowing pretty. And her heart gives a leap when she sees a big ox-drawn float with several men splitting rails. And a big sign, Honest Abe, the rail splitter. And here comes one of the speakers in a big shiny carriage, tipping his tall black hat to both sides. And the little lady suddenly tries to hide in the crowd, but land sakes, he'd seen her. He's stopping the carriage, parade, and everything, and here he comes, long legs and all, right out of the carriage and heading straight for her, and she feels almost like running. And now, before the conclusion of our story, a word from your announcer. But before she can move, a pair of powerful arms are lifting the little woman in the sunbonnet and shawl right off the ground, and there's the smack of a big hearty kiss right on her lips, and her favorite voice is saying, "Well, Ma, why didn't you tell me you were coming over to see me?" And the little woman, her voice choked with happiness, whispers, "Goodness gracious, Abe Lincoln, put me down, everybody's looking at us." No, few Americans yet realize that when Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am, I owe to my angel mother," he meant his stepmother, a wonderful woman whose story somehow always has remained behind the scenes. And now, this is Knox Manning inviting you to join me again tomorrow at this time for another journey into that dim half-light where chance and destiny lift men out from behind the scenes. This is a Hamilton Whitney production, transcribed in Hollywood.